Well, welcome back this evening, those of you who were able to come to our service tonight. Actually, to be honest with you, we have a bigger group of folks than I thought we would have tonight with all the folks that are over at the Neal congregation. If you happen to be visiting with us this evening, we are delighted that you have come to join us, and we hope that you will find the service to be uplifting and beneficial to you tonight. We're going to be looking at a couple of things this evening. Should we evaluate our spiritual state? And I guess if we were to ask that question to each and every one of us tonight, the obvious answer would be absolutely. We need to evaluate our spiritual state. So that's what we're going to do tonight. In the brief time that I'm going to be preaching this evening, we're going to be talking about four spiritual states. And we're going to think about these four spiritual states together that we find people in throughout their lives. And we're going to think about tonight, what spiritual state am I in? And let's do an evaluation of our spiritual state this evening. Well, when we think about the four spiritual states, the first spiritual state that we're going to look at is the spiritual state of innocence, as is depicted here by this child. Now, that's what happens, characterized by children. When you think of children, children are pure, children are innocent, children are sweet. Well, most of the time, children are sweet, and they're innocent, and they're precious. And because of that, they are in a safe condition, spiritually speaking. That means that God is taking care of them and protecting them. And we're going to look at some reasons why. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, "The soul that sins, it shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither shall the son bear the iniquity of the father." Now, when you think about that, and you think about this idea of the soul that's sinning, we got to understand what sin is. Well, according to 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law. And in order to be able to sin, you've got to be able to understand what the law is. You've got to understand what is right and what is wrong. And in most cases, children don't have that ability. Now, when we think about becoming a Christian, we understand that is a conscious decision that each and every one of us has to make in our life. The decision to become a Christian. And we do that based off of the facts that we understand and that we know about life and about Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, we're going to find here an example of folks that were being converted to Christianity. And if you have your Bibles and would like to, I invite you to open them to Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at this passage. Then we're going to look at another passage of Scripture together as well from the book of Luke. But in Acts chapter 8, noticing verse 12, says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, what obviously is not present here in this passage of Scripture is that there were children and infants that were baptized. In discussing who would listen to the preaching and who would respond to the preaching and who would be baptized after they heard the preaching and were convicted in their heart about the truth, it says that the men and the women were baptized. Now, you go to Mark chapter 16 and you think about verse 16. Scripture there records, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." It means that you have to make a conscious effort to understand it and to become a Christian. And you have to have the capability of being able to believe in Jesus Christ. And most children are not capable of being able to put all of the facts together because their minds have not matured to that point in their life. Now, we can look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 16. And here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, "Of children, for such is the kingdom of God." So there's an innocent stage that we find ourselves in, and that's why we don't see any evidence in the Scriptures of babies being baptized. But people that were able to respond to the message that was being preached, those were the people that were candidates to be converted and to be saved. And prior to that, the first spiritual state is innocence, because those children cannot make the decision about who they want to serve. They're not mature enough to be able to do that. Now, when you think about the four spiritual states, to be quite honest with you, this is the only state in which there is nothing for the individual to do. This is a child. There's nothing to do. They are saved by God or safe in the arms of Jesus, as many people would like to refer to that. But now as we look at the other three spiritual states that we will deal with tonight, we have to understand there is some things that have to be done in these spiritual states. Now the first one that we're going to look at is this, state of alienation. As you can see depicted by the picture there, some separation between one young man and the group. And so in like manner, when we are alienated from God, what does that mean? That means we are separated from Him. Now that's what happens when we become accountable, and we've heard of that word before, when a person becomes accountable for their sins. They're old enough now that they understand the difference between right and wrong, and we recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Scriptures would record. It will tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there is a time when we reach a certain age, and there's no way to exactly pinpoint what age that is for everybody, when you become accountable for your actions and for your behaviors and for knowing the difference between right and wrong. And so there's an alienation. When that happens, there's sin that has entered the picture. And you're responsible to take care of that sin. You've got to get rid of it. Somehow you've got to get rid of that sin. The problem is, you can't do that by yourself. The only way that your sins can be taken away from you is for you to turn to the only source for salvation that there is, and that source is Jesus Christ. So we find ourselves in a state of alienation. In fact, Paul would write about that in several passages of Scripture. We'll go first to Ephesians chapter 2, then we'll go to Colossians. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verses 11 and 12, it says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now that seems to be a pretty desperate situation, doesn't it? That's a sad situation, a sad condition. But here Paul says that you Gentiles, at one time you were alienated from God. We go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." So these people, although they may have been ignorant of things, they continued to walk in the futility of their mind, they were still responsible for their situation. And they had to make some changes. Now we go over to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 21. Here again Paul would write, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed, you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel." Now, what's he saying? In each of these cases, he's discussed these people as at one time being alienated, which means what? That they were responsible for doing something about their sin problem, and that they were accountable for that sin problem. Now, when we go back to that and we think about it, and we think about alienation, what is it that they needed to do? They needed to turn to the only source for salvation, and that source is Jesus Christ. So if you find yourself in that state today, if you find yourself in the state of being alienated, separated from God, you recognize the difference between right and wrong, but you've never done what you need to do in order to become a Christian and to belong to Jesus Christ, there's something for you to do tonight, isn't there? It's time for you to become a Christian. It's time for you no longer to be separated from Jesus Christ. There's no reason to be separated from Him. You do something about the sin problem now that you recognize it. Now, that would lead us into this next state, which is the spiritual state of being saved. God's Word, saved, you to be saved. God wants, I think it says God wants, I'm sorry I said God's Word, but it says God wants. God wants you to be saved. And that's the third spiritual state that we want to discuss this evening. Now, there are several passages of Scripture that we can look at. You can open each of these prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and that's what they're called. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. These are a part of what people call the prison epistles, because Paul wrote these while he was in prison. And at the very beginning of each one of them, he talks about a group of people. He talks about to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, at Ephesus, and at Philippi. So these are saints. These are those that have been sanctified. They've had their garments washed in the blood of Christ. They are Christians. They are saved. Now we can go to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, noticing verse 5, here he's going to talk about this special group of people that are saved. He's going to use quite a few terms to describe them. He says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You can go over to verse 9, and he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now go back to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read about a group of people. It says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch." Now this is talking about Barnabas going out to retrieve Saul in Tarsus. "He brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." Christians. We think about Christians, we think about those that are saved, we think about the saints, the holy nation, that royal nation, that holy priesthood. And we think about the people that are saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, those that would respond to the preaching there, as many as would be baptized, they were added to the church. The church is the body of the saved. Now, if we go back to Colossians, and we look in here at this particular passage of Scripture again, I want us to notice something. We've talked about those that were alienated in chapter 1, verses 21. But now, after we read through that, we find that they have now been reconciled to Jesus Christ, which means now, although they had been alienated at one time, they had taken the right steps to be reconciled to Jesus Christ and to God. And yet there's still something for them to do, because remember I said at the very outset that first spiritual state, there's really not anything for anyone to do in that innocent state, because the children don't understand. And if you want to baptize a baby, well, you're just getting the baby wet. There is no such thing as infant baptism. So there's really nothing to do there. But in every other state, spiritual state that we're going to discuss, there's something for us to do. Now, what do we need to do if we are in the saved state? We need to continue to live like God wants us to live and remain saved. Now, what does he say here about those who had been reconciled? He says, "He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Now verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So what does Paul say there? He says your salvation, even in the saved state, is conditional. Isn't that what he says? Doesn't he use the word if? He says, if you continue. How? If you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. You know, there's a lot of people who believe in this idea and this concept and this doctrine that once you are saved, you can never be lost again. Well, there's nothing further from the truth. In fact, if you want to go and analyze just about every one of the New Testament documents, after you get through the gospel accounts, with very few exceptions, all of the epistles and letters and documents of the New Testament talk about how that you can fall away from Christ. With very few exceptions do the New Testament writers not deal with this subject. So they are continuing to remind us, this is what you've got to do. This is how you've got to continue to live. If you continue steadfast and if you continue faithful. Now here's my question also, and I'd like to ask somebody this. If I'm saved once I become a Christian and I can never be lost, why did Paul spend so much time talking about Christians living like Christians and continuing to live faithful? Why was it so important and so significant that they continue to strive to live godly lives if they were already saved? Wouldn't the point be let's just get the people saved and then we don't have to worry about it anymore? But over and over and over again in every one of the writings, he talks about how, listen, be careful, folks. Beware of dogs. Beware of falling away to those people that would pervert the gospel. He dealt with that in Galatians. Here he says, you will continue to be reconciled to God if you remain faithful and steadfast and not moved away from that hope. And so there's something for us to continue to do once we become a Christian and once we're saved. We've got to develop as Christians, we've got to mature, and we've got to continue to strive to remain faithful and steadfast in that hope that we have. And let's never quit. And let's never stop. Let's always grow. Always grow. So the second state, or the third state rather, is to be saved. And then what's our fourth state? Fourth state that we're going to discuss tonight is backsliding. Backsliding. Let's just read through several passages of Scripture together. We'll start in 2 Peter chapter 2, and then we're going to backtrack into Hebrews. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. Here Peter says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first." Now, what does that sound like to you? It sounds like what we just talked about a moment ago, doesn't it? That these folks had escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They had done what's right, been reconciled to Him. Now they have become entangled again in those things of the world. "For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, and after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and then we'll look at Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, he says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." There is a state in which someone can fall away from God and backslide. And then we go to Hebrews chapter 6. And this is one of the saddest passages and indicting passages that you can read on this subject. Let's begin in verse 14. "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt." You think about that. Crucify the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame, or hold Him up in contempt to the world. That's what we do. It's what those that turn away from Jesus Christ do. There are those that backslide. There are those that fall away. Now, when you think about that, I do believe that you can get to a point where you turn your back on God so long, in such ardor that you can harden your heart, and there's a point of no return. Well, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about those that have fallen away, that have left their first love, that need to be restored. And so there's something for the backslider to do tonight as well. So if you find yourself in a situation spiritually where you're not living your life the way that you need to live it, you've turned your back on God and you need to restore your relationship with Him, then there's something to do. That's respond to the invitation and make sure that you get right with God. four spiritual states, innocent. There's not really anything to do there because God's holding those precious souls in His hands, His loving arms. But there is the alienated state. Once you become aware of the fact that you're a sinner and that you need to become a Christian, you need to be saved, now is the time to make a change. You know, it's always amazing as you read through the New Testament how often when you read about people who were brought to the truth and came to understand it and acknowledge that and recognize it, how often you're going to find that immediately they did something about it. Straightway. There are a variety of words that are used. Straightway or immediately. They didn't waste any time. They recognized there's something I've got to do and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to allow Satan to tell me, you know what? You need to put that off a little bit longer. I'm not going to wait and allow something tragic to happen in my life when I've had an opportunity to do what's right and I turned my back on that. Those people, when they recognized what condition they were in, they saw that there was no hope. And they were in dire straits. There was no waiting. Response was immediate. And if you find yourself alienated from Jesus Christ, not a Christian, tonight's a night where immediately you make a change. If you're a Christian, it's time for you to continue to strive, to grow as a Christian, and to walk steadfastly and faithful in what you've learned and the blessings that you have in Christ. And if it's the case that you've once been strong and zealous for Jesus Christ, but you have fallen away and you have backslidden, tonight's a night for you immediately to make a change in your life as well. Four spiritual states. What state are you in this evening? If you find yourself in state two or state four, then there's something to do right now, immediately, so that you can be reconciled to God again. If you find yourself in one of those two states, we want to encourage you and invite you to respond to the invitation while together we stand and sing.